How many sermons have you listened to? Can you guess? How many do you remember? My literary friend Fred Buechner says that sermons are like dirty jokes. Even the best ones are hard to remember. And yet, Sunday after Sunday, a priest climbs into the pulpit and dares to speak in the name of God to the people of God. First time I ever preached was on a theological education Sunday, my first year in seminary back in the Dark Ages. I was invited back to my home parish, and I climbed up into the pulpit after having worked and reworked that sermon to death. And as I climbed up into the pulpit, engraved there so no one else could see it, were the words, "We would see Jesus. We would see Jesus." Well, that gave me pause. Would they see Jesus in that sermon? Well, I went ahead and preached that long prepared sermon, and I was doubtful that the congregation could see Jesus in it. And that was made clear to me as I drove back to Sewanee and listened to the tape recording of the sermon response group that I had asked to listen and critique the sermon. I almost ran off the road. One man said, "What the heck?" And I'm not sure he used the word heck. "What the heck was he talking about?" Well, who knows? You may say the same thing some Sundays. Some preachers use a lot of humor. Some are very serious. Some don't write out a sermon. Some read every word. But the question is, will the listeners see Jesus? And if so, a further question. What Jesus? What Jesus will they see? This morning's gospel lesson from Luke is about the first time that Jesus goes back home to Nazareth and stands up and speaks in the synagogue in which he had grown up. And now, no doubt, his family was there, Mary, his brother. And don't you just wonder what they expected when he stood up to speak? Of course, at first, there was a feeling of pride for this hometown boy who had made good in the countryside around there. Luke tells us, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Now, he could have sat down after that, and everyone could have gone home singing his praises. But Jesus didn't leave well enough alone. Instead, he reminded the congregation that the prophets Elijah and Elisha showed them that God was not just for the acceptable folks, but for everyone. Not just for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. And when that congregation understood what Jesus was saying, Luke tells us, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. They wanted to kill Jesus for what he had said to them. Now, that passage ends with that he passed through them. We're not going to deal with that. Not sure just how that worked. So, Jesus' first sermon in his home congregation was less than spectacular. Initially, he was received with enthusiasm as the hometown boy who had achieved success. But when his message was at odds with what the people wanted to hear, the mood of the crowd changed from adulation to anger. Though he has proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord, he will find no such acceptance of himself. He was a failure. He was a failure in the eyes of his hometown crowd. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that you and I are called to follow a failure. We are called to follow a failure. Rachel Held Evans, who lives up the road from here in Dayton, in her book, Searching for Sunday, Loving, Leaving, and Finding the Church, I recommend it highly to you, writes this: "It's strange that Christians so rarely talk about failure when we claim to follow a guy whose three-year ministry was cut short by his crucifixion." She writes further, "Christians may need to get used to the idea of measuring significance by something other than money, fame, and power." So let's think about that this morning. How do we define success? Isn't the norm bigger is better? Look at the trend at the so-called megachurches. Look at the televangelists who make $40 million a year and live in palatial mansions. Compare that to us here at St. Thaddeus, when if we have 50 people in church, it's a good Sunday. Do we think we are a failure? Last Sunday in the Inquirer's class, someone asked about the differences in crosses. Specifically, why some churches feature a crucifix, the bleeding, dying Jesus with the nails holding him to the cross, versus a plain cross. And we talked about the suffering Christ that is depicted in a crucifix, and the empty cross, which is a reminder of the resurrection. Agony versus ecstasy. Most of us want to focus on success, not suffering. That was not Jesus' way. Here's the mystery that he shows us. In dying, we find life. And if the gospel doesn't offend us, maybe we haven't really heard it. The Jesus who in the eyes of the world was a failure isn't some therapeutic figure who pats little children on their heads and says, "Everything will be all right." No. He is someone who sets himself against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Roman rulers, the priests and scribes, Democrats and Republicans, socialists and capitalists, and any other creature who presumes upon the divine. And that's why he couldn't be tolerated. That's why after only 3 years of public ministry, he ends up being executed by hanging on a cross. Remember, we follow a failure. A failure who tells the truth about the realities of our world, where the lowly are looked down upon, where the poor sleep in cardboard boxes under the interstate overpasses, where the captives remain in their prisons, and where the rich live exceedingly full lives. If the gospel doesn't offend you and me, then maybe we haven't really heard it. it just might be that what the world sees as failure, God sees as faithfulness. My friends, we are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. And that's what we discover in the life of Jesus. In the eyes of the world, he was a failure. All of his friends and his followers deserted him. He was alone on the cross. But he was faithful. My prayer for all of us this day is that we too might be faithful followers of a failure. Amen.